Now, if I sing, it'll be screeching. Amen. Well, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord today. And I'm excited. Something's stirring up in me when I see young people. Man, y'all are just already, you're on edge, you're on fire. You know, I tell you what, you're liable to just start churches. You might not even go home. You might just, but it is good to see you. And man, I appreciate young people that love God. And we were having this conversation last night about the next generation. And, you know, there are some people that are worried about the next generation. I hear it all the time. Well, I'm not sure. And if you know, I don't know. It's going to be, it's just going downhill. But I'm like, I believe the next generation, I believe the church is in good hands. Amen. I believe that. And there's no doubt in my mind that God has something for every one of you. And you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be feeling what you're feeling. And I believe that with all of my heart. I was not raised in the church, and I came off the streets. I was a young man, a young person. My first experience with drugs was between the fifth and the sixth grade, and so for me to see young people, and me and my wife come we have the same background. When I see young people, I see just potential. I see revival. I just see the move of God. Amen. Well, let me get busy teaching, screeching. But I want to turn your attention this morning to the book of Psalms, chapter 22. And I will be reading just three verses in 22, and I will read the 23rd Psalm. And thank you, Brother Glover and your wife. I've really bragged on you everywhere I go. You're just a prince of a man. You have an awesome church. It's just awesome, and I appreciate you. And he knows how to fish, too. Don't let him kid you. Psalms 22, in verse 1, he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And he says, oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and I am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. This 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I want to talk to you for just a few moments on the subject, when praise turns the page. When praise turns the page. So I don't know, it may not make a whole lot of sense to you. It may not make a whole lot of sense when I get done, but I want to just share something that I feel. Why don't we just go to the Lord right now? Let's pray for this lesson today. Father, we love you. We thank you again today. Thank you, God, for this church, this people that have come, Lord, to hear your word. Ask that you would help me, God, touch my mind, my heart, God. Help me to share my heart with this people today. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. I know this is a little different, but when I look into Psalms 22, Psalms 22 is probably one of the most quoted, one of the most Old Testament scriptures that are quoted in the New Testament. And through my studies, different concordances, it's been called the Psalm of the Cross, because when you read it, it precisely portrays the anguish that the Lord Jesus Christ went through. It portrays the grief that he went through as he was crucified. And I also realize that this scripture is of a prophetic nature, or prophetic picture of Calvary, if you will. But when I was reading through this, there's two things that really came to my mind. And one of those that, as I read through this morning, is that it is a, number one, it's a cry of anguish, a cry of grief from a man that is a godly sufferer and who has not yet been delivered from his trials and the things that he's going through. And the second thing that I get out of this is that the word of this psalm, it expresses the experience, if you will, of someone that has felt forgotten, somebody that not only feels forgotten, but maybe they're just feeling like, you know, God, you're a million miles away. I'm in the midst of my storm. I'm in the midst of a situation, and God, I just can't find you. You know, Job said, you know, Lord, I'm feeling after you. I'm reaching for you, but I just can't find you. So, you know, when I read this, it kind of just gives me a thought of just somebody that's in a severe situation, and they're just groping. They're just trying to feel after God. And now I'm not going to be addressing this morning the prophetic side of this, but I want us to understand today, and no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, you know, we need to understand that our life is like a book. You know, we've all read, you know, whether it's your comic book, your hunting book, your holy book, we hope. But our life today is just like a book. There's a beginning, and thank God, you know, we're not at the end yet, but our life is just like a book. And I just kind of feel this morning, you know, nobody in this congregation today, at least I feel like nobody in this congregation really had anything to do with the opening chapter of your book. I mean, you're here today, and, you know, maybe some of you were planned, maybe some of you were not planned. Maybe some of you were brought into this world in a terrible situation. Maybe you were brought here in a joyful situation, and there was anticipation of you being here. Maybe when you were born, amen, there was maybe some of you that are sitting in here today, maybe your parents weren't anticipating. Maybe they were in a negative, just saying, I wish this would have never happened. Now what are we going to do? But the bottom line is, nobody in this building today, none of you today had anything to do with you being here. So that means that you had nothing to do with the things that you go through because of what happened in the first chapter of your life. But, you know, all that being said, now it's up to us. You know, it doesn't matter what you were brought into. It doesn't matter what your first chapter of your life was. What matters today, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what any of us are going through, just maybe me and my wife and my family. But I want to tell you today that you should never allow that first chapter of your life to dictate unto you what is going to happen in the rest of your life. Amen. The rest of your life can be the best of your life. Amen. My dad was a crack addict all the way till he was 67 years old, till I baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Guess what? He's got the Holy Ghost now. He's helping us in the Spanish work. Amen. If you were to look at the beginning chapter of his life, you would have thought, you know, he's going to be sorry. He's going to be a deadbeat dad. And for 67 years, he was. But let me tell you something. God does not look at what you are. He does not look at who you are in the opening chapter. Amen. But the will of God is God saying, I'm going to make something out of you. I'm going to use you. I got a purpose. I've got a destiny for your life. So really, it's what happens, you know, we use that poem, the dash in between, when we preach our funerals and we officiate different things. But, you know, it's not what happens in the beginning, and it helps if our ending is good. But the very thing that matters is what happens in between the chapters of our life. It's the dash in between that dictates and matters how this thing ends. Yesterday is under the blood. Today is a new day. Amen. In the words of Jeremiah. Now, I'm going to read this to you, and I know I'm on limited time, but that's okay. But Lamentations 3:1. I believe that this portion of Scripture, I believe that to me, I've always felt like Lamentations chapter 3 could just kind of interlock with Psalms 22. But he says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. Now, this guy's feeling like God has allowed the wrath to come upon him. He hath led me and brought me into the darkness, but not into the light. And surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travel. And he hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways in hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait. Oh, isn't that nice for Alaska? Amen. They said, you know, be careful if you go take a walk. Amen. But it was unto me as a bear lying in wait and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was in derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far from peace. I forget prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. And verse 20, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. And he says, this I recall to my mind, have I hope. Amen. I want to tell you today, amen, God is, you may feel like God is a million miles away. You may feel like God has forsaken you, and it's okay to feel like that. I know people that beat themselves up because they can't feel God. They pray. They can't touch God. And they're thinking, you know, God has forsaken me. God has allowed this to come on me. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. Amen. I learned a long time ago that when we're taking a test, amen, the teacher is always quiet. Amen. And there's sometimes, amen, things are going on. Things are working. Things are moving in your life. And you don't feel God. You don't feel the Holy Ghost. You don't feel the power of God. You don't feel like praying and worshiping and lifting up the name of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't have to feel God to know that he's alive and well. Amen. God is just as powerful when he's quiet. Amen. As if his spirit is being poured out in my life. And so, you know, it all kind of ties into Psalms 22. And we know that this is, you know, you can get some theological discussions with all this. But, you know, Jeremiah had these feelings, amen, and David in Psalms 22, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, here's another man. He was an awesome man. He fell into sin. He did a lot of things, but David was an awesome man, not because he was a king, not because he slayed a lion and a bear, but in my opinion, what made David so awesome is that David knew how to find his way back to God. Amen. There were days where he didn't feel it. There were days where he was on his face. There was days when he was hiding. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a revelation there. Amen. All you got to know is that God is there for you. All you got to know is, hey, he's a prayer away. Amen. All you got to know is that God is there. And so he's feeling, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm kind of hooked up with you, God. And now you've done left me. Look, you know, hey, he ain't like a country western song now. God ain't going to leave you and take your wife and your pickup truck and your dog. Some of you is like raising your eyebrows, but you got to understand, I'm over 50 years old. So, you know, I understand if you play that song backwards, you get your dog back, get your truck back. And sometimes, you know, but he was saying, why have you forsaken me? You know, obviously he felt like he was connected to God. Obviously he felt and he had a revelation that, hey, God, I can have anything that I need, anything that I want. It's at my disposal. And then something goes wrong, and he's like, He forgets all about the things that God has done for him. He forgets that God has protected him, that God has saved him through different circumstances. And he's like, you know, why have you forsaken me? That word forsaken me means left me or to leave me destitute. You know, it's one thing for somebody to leave you, but when you begin to feel that I'm destitute and that, you know, nobody cares for me and I've just been thrown to the side. And he says, why so far from helping me? Now, a lot of people don't want to ask God any questions. I know people that think it's a sin to ask God why. Because they think that you're, you know, well, you're asking God why he allowed this and why he allowed that and why did this happen. And you know, you need to trust God. That's sin. You're not trusting God. But let me tell you something. We have a human nature. Amen. And human nature, it gets weak. Human nature gets tired. He says, why so far from helping me? Why are you not delivering me? Why are you not saving me from this situation? Now, I know that this wasn't just a one-day situation because I think it's verse 3 here, it says he used the terminology, the words of my roaring. Now, I've seen people cry and just have a little teardrop. And then I've seen people cry where tears were just popping out of their head, just going out before them. So this wasn't just a little, I'm upset, but I'll get over it. But he said that the words of his roaring, it was a rumbling, it was a lamentation is what that word means. And so that lets me to know that he was in a bad way. This was not just, you know, I lost my boyfriend. This was not just, well, I didn't get paid last week. This was something that was major. I don't know if, I'm sure that we've got many of you in this building that you've been through some traumatic times. And I have seen, look, I wasn't born apostolic. I wasn't born in a Pentecostal church. And my life has been filled, and I'm not glorifying. I'm just telling you that my life, I have seen my mother. My mother raised us and worked 2 and 3 jobs, and she was never in the church. But I have watched her literally just come home after 3 jobs and literally just cry and literally just, you know, we never knew nothing about God. But I kind of liken this to watching people, you know, I've almost lost my wife twice through cancer. We've had situations. My daughter-in-law, 4 children, and you know, in our flesh, you know, there was lamentation, there was questions of why God. And I can remember when my wife was about to die, he said, you go home and you make things, you just get it all laid out and you take care of your kids. And I got home and I just began to pray, and I just got mad, I got aggravated, because I said, we have been faithful. I said, we came out of this world, we made up our mind that we were going to try to save a world. Amen. I said, we have lived holy, we have done everything, God, that you have asked of us. We've made some mistakes along the road. And then at that moment, amen, on my face in prayer, wondering what I'm going to do with my 2 beautiful girls. And I'm saying, God, amen, I got 3 prisons over here with pedophiles and killers and drug. I mean, you know, I'm saying, God, why are you doing this? And God just spoke to me in just a still, small voice. He says, you know me. He says, they don't. And it's at that moment I felt about that big, amen, and I just begin to weep before the Lord. Amen. I want to tell you today, I want to tell somebody today, amen, don't go by your feelings, because your feelings, it doesn't matter how you feel. It don't matter if you can't feel God. I'm telling you, God is here today. God is in your life. If you're making an effort to serve him, God is on your side. He says, I'm crying in the daytime. Now, who cries in the daytime? We always talk about, you know, the darkest hour of my life. And we talk about this is the midnight trial and it's 11:59 in my life. And I'm going to tell you, he was going through so much, amen, that his tears was his meat day and night. There wasn't a time in his life where he was just hurting and in such a bad way. And he's just asking God, he's saying, God, I cry in the daytime and in the night season, and I'm not silent. Let me tell you, we all have seasons. Me and Brother Jackson were just brief conversation talking about seasons. But after he talks about crying, and and feeling so bad. Verse 3 says, but thou art holy, and thou inhabit the praises of Israel. Now, I knew it sounds bad when you read that. It sounds bad when you read chapter 3 of Lamentations. But through it all, that revelation comes back, and he said, wait a minute. It ain't as bad as it seems. Wait a minute. It could be worse. Wait a minute, God. I know you're holy. Lord, I know all I got to do is praise you. All I got to do is begin to magnify you in the midst of all of this. God, I know you got me now. Amen. It almost slipped my mind. But now that I know you are holy and you're not going to let me down. You know, the bottom line, he began to praise God in the season of his suffering. Anybody can praise God when you got some money in your pocket. Hey, man, you got everything going good. Hey, man, you got money. You got a girlfriend. You got a new house, a new car. Hey, man, anybody can praise God for that. But let me tell you something. Hey, man, my praise ain't got nothing to do with what I've got. Hey, man, because I'm going to praise him in the storm. I'm going to praise him. Hey, man, when I'm on the bottom. I'm going to praise him when I can't see him, when I can't feel him. If I got a muster, I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to magnify the name of the Lord. Why? Because he's holy and he inhabits my praise. Amen. You don't have to feel him. He's here. Look, I don't want just a little blessing from God. I don't want a visitation from God. I want a habitation. You know, visitation, God shows up. Hey, I'm going to bless you. Boom, put you a dime in your pocket and he's gone. I don't want to, you know, this ain't weekend rites. This ain't dropping off your youngin', you know, at your daddy's house for the weekend. I'm sorry, I'm from Alabama, I'm sorry. But what I'm saying is, he don't want somebody just to show up on Sunday and say, hey, we're going to get our praise on. Or, you know, hey, Wednesday, oh, Bible study. He's looking for some place to habitate. Amen. Look, we came into this church, but you're the temple. You're the ecclesia. You're the called out one. Hey, this building's just a building. We'll have church in the yard if we have to. Well, let's get back to the season, and I'm just about to wrap it up. But, you know, he began to praise God in the season of his suffering. And I've always found out if you can praise him in the bad times, and you can praise him when you don't feel him, and you can praise him when your life is just upside down, and you feel like somebody's just trying to shake everything out of you, when the good times do come, you talk about some praise. You talk about some praise. Woo! Look, it ain't easy. You know, it ain't easy sitting there and you're going through everything, and it ain't easy to even get that one foot out in the aisle. But hey, when you get it out in the aisle and the other one follows through, but I'm telling you, when you get it, when everything's going good and you start praising him, man, it's on. So he began to praise God in the season of his suffering. And when I look at this, there's kind of like a miracle between Psalms 22 and 23. Because Psalms 22, man, he's on the bottom. And he's just, man, woe is me, everything's going wrong. But I feel like when he began to praise God, it was almost like he turned the page. You know, that first chapter, man, he's dying. The first chapter, he's just going through everything. And when he decided he was going to give God some praise because he was holy, it's almost like when they turned into Psalms 23, it was a whole new world. You know, what is a chapter? You know, some of you scholars out here, math books and history books and all those books you love, you know. I mean, y'all love going to school, right? Calculus books and hunting books. Oh, yeah. Fishing books, yeah. Well, you know, all a chapter is a main division of a book. And when we finish one chapter, we turn the page. So, you know, I just kind of feel this morning. And I don't know, I guess you might have just confirmed that, Brother Jackson. You know, when you just said season, it just something hit my mind. You know, I got to just looking at this. It could very well be this morning in this Sunday school class that somebody in this building today, whether you're young or old, you may be in a season of life. I don't know you. You don't know me. But, you know, it could very well, doesn't, you don't have to be in the gifts of the Spirit to realize that we're all living in the real world, the real life. And there's some of you, you're probably in a season of your life. There's some of you young folks, you're probably, you know, you're on this mission training, you're on this mission trip, you know, and you're trying to figure out, what is God going to do with me? What, you know, God, what do you really have? There's probably some of you that are sitting there and you're like Psalms 22 and you're like, God, I'm trying to figure out my destiny. I'm trying to figure out where you want me. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Am I going to preach? Am I going to teach? Where am I going to go, God? And God ain't talked to you yet. And you're probably thinking, man, I'm roaring. I'm in my lamentation. God, I'm getting worried. But let me tell you something. All it takes is one little bit of praise unto God. Amen. And in that season, amen, God is getting, I believe today that God is getting ready to turn the page in somebody's life. You realize that one praise can turn the page and you can go from affliction, amen, to the righteousness of God. You may have walked in here this morning on the bottom, amen, but revive. Revival is here and restoration is here and the power of God is here. You may have showed up and you're sick in your body. Amen. One praise, it'll turn the page and God will come in and heal you and work in you and there will be a revival and a move of God like never before. Come on, somebody give him praise this morning. Come on, somebody. Somebody's season is about to end. Somebody's getting ready to step into a new dimension in God. Amen. How's he going to do it? I don't know how God is going to do it. But the only thing that matters is you got to turn the page. You got to let yesterday be yesterday. You got to leave that affliction and walk into a new season of God. Come on, lift your hands and praise him this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I'm teaching to somebody today that you have got to turn the page in your life. Come on, give him praise right now. Come on, magnify the name of the Lord. Come on, God will heal you today. God will do a work in your life today. He leaves us basically, as you know, when you go to Lamentations, he's basically, man, he's laid up. He's in a spiritual prison. He's in a physical prison most of his life, Jeremiah. But God's calling him. He's called of God. And then he gets in that Psalms 22 and he's like, oh man, I'm not preaching anymore. I'm not giving any more Bible studies. God, I'm not doing anything else. And about that moment, he's in that old nasty prison. You know, these seasons of life, they're not pretty. You got to understand, he was in muddy water. He was in human waste. He was in rats and bugs. And I mean, he was in the bottom of an old well is where he was at. But it didn't take but one verse. And all of a sudden, he started coming back to him. Oh, God, I'm on the bottom. And all of a sudden, I don't know if a big old rat come flying through with another rat on its back. Hey, man, he was down in the dumps. He's like, man, did you see that rat on the other rat's back? Now, I know God's got a sense of humor here. But, you know, there's got to be something that God allows in your life to be able to just take you from the bottom to all of a sudden say, wait a minute, God, you're holy. I'm going to give you some praise. There's got to be something that happens to turn that page. And so we get into Psalms 23. You leave a chapter of suffering and you flip the page one time and you're in the 23rd Psalm. When we turn the page of suffering, through praise, we enter the realm of green pastures, still waters, restoration, righteousness, anointing, and goodness and mercy. Psalms 22 and 22 says this, and I'm done. He says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Now you have to understand, this is the same guy that was down in the dumps. But he says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye seed of Israel, he says, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and neither hath he hid his face from him. And when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee. Let's stand. In the great congregation I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your Lord shall live forever. Amen. Can I tell you? Amen. Your praise can turn the page. Why don't we just lift up our hands? Amen. And let's begin to give God some praise and honor and glory. Come on. Amen. Give the Lord some praise today. God's going to bring you out. Amen. Just remember, in the bottom of it all, in the midst of it all, if you'll give God the praise, he will turn the page. Come on, somebody. Amen. This could be your day. Amen. When Brother Jackson comes and when we begin to worship God, amen, I just believe that doors will begin to open, that the Spirit of the Lord will begin to move through the evangelist today. Come on. Amen. Lift your hands and say, God, today. Amen. Today is the day I'm going to give you praise, and you're going to turn my life around. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.